Let's pray. Father, we open our Bibles, asking you to open your word. The only way the word gets off the page and into our hearts is that your Holy Spirit writes it there. And I ask you to do that work today for us. Don't let us leave here unchanged. Walk us out of here having grown more in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. That is the whole purpose of your word all the time. And how much more should that be our focus when we are studying Jesus himself in the Gospels? When we're looking at his life, we know the whole Bible revolves around our Lord, but what a joy. Well, we can look into the life he lived. We can, through your word, walk alongside him. We can look him in the face in our imaginations. We can hear his words. And we are grateful for that. May we know their power. May we know his power in his preaching, his power in his teaching. May we have his wisdom. May we have his purpose. Fill us with him. Fill us with his truth. For your glory in us, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. In our study of Jesus according to Luke, as we come to the end of Luke chapter 4, we are still with Jesus in Capernaum. We are going to go with him from the synagogue there in Capernaum to Simon's house there in Capernaum. As we do, we will see how things ramped up for Jesus there in Capernaum. Things quickly and drastically escalated for the great physician. They escalated as the good news of the great physician got out. Things escalated to a point of conflict different than the conflict at Nazareth. The conflict at Nazareth was a conflict in despite. They despised him. In contrast to that, the conflict at Capernaum was a conflict in desperation. They were desperate for him. It's a stark contrast. And in their desperation, they had to pause and understand something more important about him than what they were initially seeing. So let's read Luke 4:38 through 44. Then he, Jesus, got up and left the synagogue and entered Simon's home. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked him to help her. And standing over her, he rebuked the fever, and it left her. And she immediately got up and waited on them. While the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him. And laying his hands on each one of them, he was healing them. Demons also were coming out of many, shouting, "You are the Son of God!" But rebuking them, he would not allow them to speak, because they knew him to be the Christ. When day came, Jesus left and went to a secluded place, and the crowds were searching for him and came to him and tried to keep him from going away from them. But he said to them, "I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose." So he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. We have more to learn about Jesus as we follow him through the rest of this day into the next on this Sabbath day at Capernaum. We will go from looking at more on his power to how his power relates to his own stated higher purpose. What he said he was here for. We will go from looking at his power over diseases and demons to his higher purpose of preaching God's dominion. That's the focus in this passage today. Now, a lot is going around on power and purpose from God. I mean, both those subjects are very popular. A preacher who is worth any bit of salt in how he communicates can pretty quickly gain a following if he focuses on power and purpose. People everywhere love to hear about power and purpose. How can I have more power in my life? How can I have a higher purpose in my life? And they love it, really, when they think they can have those straight from God. Yes, tell me, please, how I can have the power of God in my life. Yes, tell me how I can live for a higher purpose and how God moves and works in my life. A lot that is going around on power and purpose from God is biblical and good. But on the flip side, a lot of it is unbiblical, not biblical, and not good. There is always a way for God's power and purpose to come together in our lives. The scriptures clearly show us that. For his children, he does promise both power and purpose. All through the scriptures, all through the Bible, those are clearly taught. They do come together in his plan for us, as Jesus is active in our lives. So, as we go with Jesus through this, hold out to him what you want him to do in your life. I happen to believe he's here now. I happen to believe he is alive and present. I stand on that promise that he gave to the disciples, the original apostles, the original disciples, who we know as the apostles. I will be with you even to the end of the age. And his ascension into heaven does not mean that's any less true for us now than it was for them when they were standing looking him in the face in that moment. I believe he is present. I believe he is watching. I believe he is listening. I believe he is working. So I implore you, as we go through this passage with him and we look at this exchange that happened between him and the people of Capernaum and the surrounding region, hold out to him what you want him to do in your life. He already sees your heart. Make it a point to humbly, openly hold that out to him. What you want him to do in your life and his power. And then as you do, think carefully about how that relates to what he wants to do in your life and his purpose. He gives a very important lesson on how his power relates to his purpose in our lives. So first, let's look at Jesus' power over diseases and demons as Luke gives us this account of what he did there at Capernaum. We're going to step through this under three, what we can call subpoints: the dilemma of Simon's mother-in-law, the diseases of the masses, and the demons of many. First, the dilemma of Simon's mother-in-law. Look at, again at verses 38 and 39. Then he got up and left the synagogue and entered Simon's home. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked him to help her. And standing over her, he rebuked the fever, and it left her, and she immediately got up and waited on them. This was still the Sabbath. The same Sabbath of the last passage in which he was teaching and drove out the demon out of that man in the synagogue. Remember that? He was teaching and everybody was amazed at his teaching. Everybody was astonished at how he was teaching because he was teaching with authority, giving them direction, giving them instruction, not just giving them mind candy to chew on, but he was telling them about the will of God and what they were to do with it. And they were amazed at hearing that. They'd never heard anything like him before. And in the midst of all that, this demon-possessed man that was in there, the demon got agitated, cried out. Jesus commanded him to get out. And that just increased their astonishment, because not only did he teach with authority, in authority and power, he commands even the demons. Same day, different context. When Jesus got up from teaching in the synagogue, he went straight from the synagogue to Simon's house. Now, we know from the other gospels that Simon is the Apostle Peter. Luke probably used Simon because that's what Peter was generally known by at this time. He was known as Simon. Simon's mother-in-law was very sick with a high fever. Dr. Luke, interestingly, is the only gospel writer that points out the severity of her fever. You can read this story in Matthew and Mark also. But neither Matthew nor Mark make note of the severity of her fever, but Dr. Luke does. It was a serious fever. This was a dangerous situation for Simon's mother-in-law. I mean, high fevers are dangerous today, and look at all the medicines we have to work with. Think back to their time and their primitive means, and what a high fever could have meant for them. This was a dangerous time, a dangerous situation for her. And they appealed to Jesus for her, not for treatment, but for healing. They understood Jesus was not a run-of-the-mill physician. We've already seen how the stories were circulating. He had already done other things, other miraculous things that Luke was not led by the Holy Spirit to record. But he does record that his power in the Holy Spirit was becoming widely known. So they appealed to her on her sickbed. They appealed to him for her to heal her. And he listened. So standing over her, not looming menacingly, but caringly, stepping up to her and standing over her, Jesus healed her with a word. Just a word. A rebuke. Now, he was not showboating like a false faith healer will today. I mean, you can turn on the TV and watch all kinds of faith healing nonsense going on, and they put on a big show, and they gather their big crowds, and they get the lights out and the fog machines, and they go through all kinds of showboating nonsense, trying to draw a following. We don't see that from Jesus here, do we? He didn't jump up and down and scream and holler. He just spoke a direct, simple rebuke of the fever. With the sovereign power of God and His Word, He stopped the attack of what was causing her high fever, and as Luke notes, she immediately got up. Immediately got up, without recovery. in an instantaneous, absolute reinvigoration and waited on them. You know what it's like to recover from a high fever, from some kind of sickness that causes such a high fever that you have to take something to drive the fever down. You're weak. You're just wiped out, right? It takes a toll on your body. Well, according to Luke, this woman is up and going and serving them in her grateful humility. Never crossed her mind to tell them, get it yourself. She got up and started taking care of them. Anything they needed. Well, while she served them and they rested, someone was spreading the word. And that brings us to the diseases of the masses. Verse 40. While the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and laying his hands on each one of them, he was healing them. The sun was setting as the end of the Sabbath day, which allowed them to do the work of transporting their sick loved ones. They were not allowed to move the sick on a Sabbath day because it was considered work. And anything that was considered work was considered a violation of the Sabbath. So that's the significance of Luke pointing out as the sun was going down, they started bringing their sick. Sabbath was over, so they could start moving them. Word was out about him, and they knew where to find him. So there came this wave of the sick and suffering. Picture it in your mind. They start flooding in, a solid stream. What pitiful sights he must have seen. Use your imagination. Put yourself in that primitive time. Various diseases, Luke says. What bad odors he must have smelled. You know what a hospital smells like? You know what a sick room smells like? And Jesus didn't shrink from them. Luke states, in fact, he shrunk from no one. He looked over no one. He was touching and healing each one. What great compassion from the great physician. He was driving out more than diseases, though. That brings us to the demons of many. Look what Luke says about them in verse 41 again. Demons also were coming out of many, shouting, "You are the Son of God." But rebuking them, he would not allow them to speak because they knew him to be the Christ. The demons realized who he is at being exorcised by him. They knew God had sent his son into the world. Demons talk to each other. There's communication between them. They have their ranks. The Bible teaches us, the devil being the commander. They knew he was around. And they knew Jesus was him because no other has the power to drive them out. As they were shouting this in their agony at meeting him face to face, he was shutting them down and shutting them up. Gagging them, forcing them to be silent, because demonic declaration was not the means by which he wanted people to come to know him as the Christ. That's why Luke specifies it was specifically because they knew he was the Christ that he was shutting them up. It was not their place to tell people that and to try to twist his ministry into something it was never intended to be. There was no partnership between him and the demons. And there was to be no appearance that there was. So he was gagging them and driving them on. Now, to the disappointment of the people, Jesus did not and was not going to keep this up. Like them, we need to understand why not. Why would he ever stop healing diseases and liberating from demons? He did stop, and they didn't understand why. We need to understand why. So we go now from Jesus' power over diseases and demons to Jesus' higher purpose of preaching God's dominion. Look at verses 42 through 44. When day came, Jesus left and went to a secluded place, and the crowds were searching for him and came to him and tried to keep him from going away from them. Don't miss that. But he said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose. So he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. Jesus healed people from their diseases and liberated people from demons all night. He was with them from dusk till dawn, doing these miraculous works for them, touching and healing, commanding those demons to leave. Now, when day came, can't you imagine how exhausted he must have been? He'd been up all day, and he'd been up all night. Teaching, touching. I have to be honest with you. I don't know to what extent I've shared this with any of you, but Cheryl Lee knows how much of an introvert I am. And if you know anything about introverts, we're the exact opposite of extroverts in that too much socializing drains us. Extroverts, they get their energy from socializing. They have to be around other people to get their energy. If they're alone too long, that drains them. An introvert is just the opposite. An introvert can love to be around people, but it drains him. He has to get by himself to recharge. And if he's not allowed to do that, he's no good around other people. That's just a reality. We can't do anything about it. It's the way we're wired. I'm one of those. I love people. I love you. I love my family. But I learned a long time ago, if I don't get time to get away and be alone, I don't recharge. And I'm not good for anybody. I learned that hard lesson after coming into the ministry. So that gives me, I think, a little bit of a unique perspective on how exhausted Jesus might have been by the time the sun came up that next morning. Now, I don't know if he could be labeled either an extrovert or an introvert. Jesus was just Jesus. He's in his own class, as far as I'm concerned. As far as I understand, he wasn't susceptible to our quirks. Now, he had our needs. He was human like we are, but he wasn't quirky like we are. He didn't have his flaws like we do. I tend to be an introvert to an extreme, which is a flaw. But just thinking about the toll that must have taken on him, I'm trying to put myself in that situation, up all day teaching and sharing and touching other people, and then to go all night absolutely pressed in by the mass of people that were there with him to be healed. I would have been falling on my face by the next morning from exhaustion. So, that's why I want to point it out. I think he was wiped out by this time. And he needed to be alone. He deliberately left to go, as Luke says, to a secluded place. The point came when he said, I've got to stop and I need to get away. Jesus needed to be alone. Can't you hear how some of those nasty Nazarenes would have taunted him at this point? Remember what he said they would have said to him if he had let things go on too far? Physician, heal yourself. Can't you imagine them in this situation with him? If he had gone ahead and let them gather their people in and heal them and drive out the demons and go through all that with them and him come to the point of needing to get away and them mocking him. Really? You can do all this, but you need a break? Physician, heal yourself. I can hear them doing that to him. Well, while Jesus needed to be alone, the people did not leave him alone. And they did not want him to leave them at all. They tried to keep him. They wanted this great physician to set up permanent residence, so they tried to permanently retain him. No, you can't leave. Please stay. We would have done the same thing. We would have tried to keep him too. We would have been clamoring for him, clawing at him, and trying to keep him just like them if we had been desperate like them. They were desperate. However, Jesus had served his higher purpose among them. That's what they needed to understand. And he needed to go on and serve this same purpose beyond them. The primary purpose for which he says he was sent by God the Father. For which he was sent by God into this world, a higher purpose, even over easing suffering, to do what? To preach the kingdom of God. To preach God's dominion in his domain. Please think carefully about this. Please let this sink in. Jesus prioritized preaching eternal life in God's world over using his power to give people an easier life in this world. Do you see that? They didn't see it, and they needed to see it. Jesus prioritized preaching eternal life in God's world over using his power to give people an easier life in this world. These people, as we would have been, I don't say this in criticism because I would have been right there with them. If my son was a cripple, I would have had him drug right up to the feet of Jesus myself, I guarantee it. These people were focused on an easier life while Jesus was there and going everywhere to point people to eternal life. And so he left there. He left there and left people untaught, untouched. Because his power there pointed to his higher purpose. And his higher purpose was to keep on preaching the kingdom of God. And so he did keep on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. You know, the crowds will always come to Jesus to get rid of their diseases and demons. Now, that is an evangelism campaign that will always succeed. If that's all the stress we're putting on evangelism, if that's all the stress we're putting on campaigning for drawing the crowds to our congregations, to our gatherings, we'll get people. The crowds will always come to get rid of their diseases and demons. But we need to remember, if we're going to do like the song really says and follow in his footsteps, Jesus is calling the crowds to come under God's dominion before he's getting rid of their diseases and demons. And in which is he truly ministering to the greater need? What is our greater need? What was the greatest need of those crowds, of those masses huddled around him in their sickness and suffering? What was their greatest need? Was it an easier life or eternal life? Jesus always kept his eye on serving the greater need. It's the same today. Where is our focus? In seeking power and purpose from Jesus, I believe we have those from God. But where is our purpose? Where is our focus in asking for those? In seeking him for those? Are we only insisting on his higher power, or are we also embracing his higher purpose? Jesus brings his power into our lives for his purpose that transcends this life for the next life in God's kingdom. It always has been that way, and it always will be that way. I believe in the miraculous power of our Lord Jesus Christ. I believe he is still in wonderful ways showing his power in our lives today. I'm convinced of that. I believe that when we pray for him to heal, he may actually do that. I believe that when we cry out to him for help, we can depend on him for that. But anything he grants us in answering that is to always serve his higher purpose, to preach and prepare us for the kingdom of God. And so as we reach out to the world around us, we need to keep that straight in our preaching. We need to keep that straight in our witnessing. We need to keep that straight in how we share Jesus. He has come not for you to have an easier life, but for you to have eternal life. Let's pray. And Lord, we thank you for opening the kingdom of God to us. We know that we can bring our needs to you. We know that there's nothing There's nothing that we face that we can't bring and lay at your feet. We know that we can seek you in all situations, all settings, all seasons of life. We can always look to you and cast our burdens on you because you do care for us. We are so grateful for that. But we know that in this lost and dying world, there is the higher purpose of sharing eternal life in your world to come. And help us keep that straight in how we think about you. Help us keep that straight in how we minister to the needs of others. Keep us set on what you were set on and why you were sent to proclaim the kingdom of God. Father, for your glory in it, Lord, we exalt you by your Spirit and in your truth. In your name we pray. Amen.